Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, November 25th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Ballot initiative to end Idaho's full nine-month abortion ban has 50,000 signatures. Next Idaho state budget may need $600 million to $1 billion more. Art at Moscow City Shop and Magellan, the state's mental health Medicaid contractor, cuts Medicaid reimbursement for people with severe mental illness. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Idaho Division of Financial Management Administrator Lori Wolf says Idaho lawmakers may need to come up with between $600 million and $1 billion for the fiscal year 2027 budget when the legislature meets starting in January. Wolf told the Idaho Capital Sun yesterday, "We try to keep $200 million on the bottom line when we budget so you can quickly get to $1 billion in terms of what we need to do to account for revenue projections coming in for fiscal year 2027. Idaho Governor Brad Little has already ordered all state agencies except K-12 schools to cut their current fiscal year budgets by 3%. This comes at a time when state financial officers are projecting a $58.3 million deficit for the current fiscal year. The Idaho Capital Sun reports the state budget deficit may balloon to 10 times its current size during the next budget year, fiscal year 2027, depending on a number of factors, including revenue collections and whether the Idaho legislature chooses to conform their state tax changes to the federal One Big Beautiful Bill Act that Trump signed in July. Wolf is predicting a state budget deficit of $555 million for fiscal year 2027. She said the cost of complying with tax changes under the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill would be between $200 million and $284 million. Wolf says lawmakers should leave $200 million in reserves after the 2027 budget is spent to guard against future budget uncertainty. Idahoans United for Women and Families has announced they have collected 50,000 signatures so far to get their initiative repealing the state's near-total abortion ban on the ballot. The group needs the signatures of about 71,000 Idaho voters, including 6% of the registered voters in 18 of the state's 35 legislative districts, in order to put the measure on the November 2026 ballot. According to the Idaho Capital Sun, Idahoans United for Women and Families Executive Director Melanie Falwell wrote in a statement, "Crossing the 50,000 signature threshold is both a celebration and a clear signal that Idahoans want their voices heard. Every signature is a reminder that these decisions belong with patients and their doctors, not with politicians." Magellan of Idaho, the company that contracts with the state to run Idaho Medicaid's mental health benefits, plans to cut reimbursements for people with severe mental illness. Magellan has announced it will cut funding for peer support specialists who help patients navigate mental health treatment plans starting next Monday, December 1st. Magellan says it will also end payments for specialized mobile teams that treat patients with severe mental illness who are not able to come to routine treatment settings. That cut will also take effect December 1st. Access Behavioral Health Services co-owner Lori Scurry of Boise says the cuts could cause more violent critical incidents because people with severe mental health issues could lose accessible treatment. Scurry, who also is the lead for the Idaho Association of Community Providers Behavioral Health Subgroup, told the Idaho Capital Sun, "We don't see that with people who are in treatment. Any even low-level treatment. It's the people who are not in treatment, who cannot engage in treatment. Those are the people that eventually become so psychotic that they engage and there's a critical incident for the community." Magellan had recently announced it planned to cut reimbursements for Medicaid mental health services between 4 and 15%, depending on the program. Magellan spokesperson Kristen DeRocher said, "Magellan understands and supports the state of Idaho in carrying out actions required to balance the state budget as required by the Idaho Constitution. Given the limited available levers to reach budget targets," referring to the Idaho Health and Welfare Department, DeRocher said Magellan has worked with them to identify changes to optional programs that are allowable under the law. "We will continue to partner with the state providers and members as well as navigate the changes before us." One of the programs being cut entirely is called Assertive Community Treatment. Under that program, doctors and nurses visit patients in their homes to help them stay on their medication. Tuler Counseling Service Clinical Director Tom Tuler, who works in eastern Idaho, says removing that program means the state is shifting the cost of visiting 400 to 500 patients statewide to jails and psychiatric hospitals. Tuler said it might cut the pot of money for health and welfare, but it's going to add huge amounts of money to the hospitals and jail systems because that's where these people are going to end up. Idaho's Secretary of State Phil McGrane was in Mountain Home yesterday to supervise 17 election officials in the hand recount of Elmore County's 3,193 ballots cast in the November 4th election. Elmore County Clerk Shelley Essel had previously reported unofficial election results for 373 ballots less than actually cast. An announcement by the Secretary of State's office emailed to media outlets said the updated count included 373 ballots that were not reflected in election night reporting. The announcement says the previously uncounted ballots did not change the outcome of any races. There was a race for Atlanta Fire District Commissioner that was decided by two votes. The margin of victory in all races in Elmore County this year, which included Mountain Home City Council races and a Mountain Home School District supplemental levy, was less than 300 votes. Local police and the FBI arrested four people in a methamphetamine and fentanyl bust at the Sunset Mart in Moscow early Sunday morning. The four people police took into custody are residents of Lapway. They are Syra Cunningham, Janet Pakutas, Kevin Lee Tannehill, and Ruben Padilla. The Daily News reports Lewiston police say they had been tracking Kevin Lee Tannehill, who allegedly traveled to Spokane to buy powdered fentanyl. Lewiston police notified the Moscow Police Department and the Latah County Sheriff's Office they should arrest Tannehill if he stopped in Moscow. An FBI special agent arrived in Moscow to help the arrest. Moscow police saw Tannehill's vehicle parked at the convenience store at Sunset Mart on Main Street about 1 a.m. Sunday. At the time of Tannehill's arrest, Cunningham, Pakutas, and Padilla were passengers in the vehicle. Police searched the car and say they found an amount of methamphetamine and fentanyl as well as a broken glass pipe, which Pakutas had allegedly tried to destroy in the Sunset Mart parking area. Authorities charged Pakutas with possession of fentanyl and destruction of evidence. They charged Cunningham with possession of methamphetamine and trafficking in fentanyl. Police arrested Tannehill for probation violations. Police arrested Padilla on an active Kootenai County warrant. Lewiston police transported and booked all four into the Nez Perce County Jail. The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee yesterday heard a presentation from City Arts Director Megan Cherry about a planned mural installation on the new City Shop building on North Polk Street Extension, which is currently under construction. Cherry said the city's 1% art fund would pay for the $55,000 mural project.
we're overall really trying to dovetail our public art installations into these larger capital improvement projects a little bit more smoothly. So having them kind of installed right about when the things are done is the ultimate goal here. So the Arts Commission has been working on this, and then we've had some great collaboration with staff. In the summer, we put out a survey to both the public and city shop staff. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then have been working with engineering on some preliminary engineering docs for the wall that we'll need to put the mural on. You've got those in your packet if you feel like digging into those. And then you can see our two committee and council presentations on there. And then hopefully we would be opening that RFQ for mural artists in January with hope of installing that mural by the end of September of 26.
That was Moscow City Arts Director Megan Cherry. The proposed budget for the mural includes $36,000 for construction of a wall with integrated lighting to serve as a permanent mural location, $6,000 for a painting contractor for site prep, priming, and anti-graffiti clear coat, $1,000 for honoraria for up to three design finalists, and an artwork commission of $10,000. The administrative committee recommended the city move forward with requests for proposals from artists and painting contractors and put the item on the consent agenda for the next city council meeting, which is scheduled for Monday night of next week.
KRFP programming is sponsored by listeners like you and by Essential Art Gallery and Fine Gifts at 203 South Main Street in Moscow, showcasing high-quality art, pottery, jewelry, art glass, sculptures, scarves, textiles, wood and metal art, and fine chocolate and gifts from regional, national, and international artists. KRFP is also sponsored by Moscow Ale House, with something for everyone in the family. You can find Moscow Ale House at 226 West 6th Street or call 208-882-BREW. That's 208-882-2739.
Blue Cross of Idaho has asked the state to investigate billing practices at Post Falls ER and Hospital after the insurance carrier found the new hospital is using an arbitration process for billing patients that inflates medical costs. Post Falls ER and Hospital opened in August 2024 and is owned by the for-profit Houston-based firm Nutex Health Incorporated. Blue Cross of Idaho says it has engaged with officials at the hospital several times, but the officials refused to make the hospital part of their health provider network. Blue Cross wrote in a news release, Nutex uses the federal No Surprise Act guidelines that require an arbitration process to settle billing disputes. The letter says Nutex operates mostly as an out-of-network provider, which means patients do not benefit from negotiated insurance rates. The statement says Nutex actively utilizes the No Surprise Act's arbitration process with the goal of submitting 60-70% of visits to arbitration, despite its recognition of the significant cost to enter arbitration. Blue Cross says it received a claim for treating a runny nose at the Post Falls Hospital for $2,872, while the median commercial rate for such a treatment is $376. A man accused of starting the apartment building he lived in on fire in Pullman has pled not guilty to felony first-degree arson in Whitman County Superior Court. 40-year-old Elijah Reagan changed his original plea of insanity to not guilty Friday. Prosecutors accuse Reagan of setting fire to the building in the 100 block of Northwest Larry Street by shooting fireworks out of a mortar October 5th. The fire damaged all 18 units in the building, and Pullman Fire Department inspectors deemed the building dangerous and unsafe to occupy, displacing all residents. Reagan faces a maximum sentence of life in prison for the felony first-degree arson charge. Prosecutors have also charged him with eluding and malicious damage to property with an explosive device. Reagan is represented by attorney Steve Martonic. The Daily News reports Martonic gave no reason for the withdrawal of the insanity plea during Friday's arraignment in Colfax. Crews from Wasson Carey Construction are stabilizing damaged walls of a building on Washington Street in Moscow that was severely damaged when a truck crashed into the building June 20th. The crash took out the major parts of the east and north walls of the one-story building, mainly damaging the part of the building that housed the offices of Hodge & Associates. The south part of the building, housing Alternatives to Violence of the Palouse, was largely undamaged. Hodge & Associates principal engineer Scott Becker told the Daily News Wasson Carey crews will begin reconstruction after the damaged wall is stabilized. Becker said Hodge staff has been able to work in the building after the crash after temporary support rafters were built. It's Morning Mix on KRFP Moscow Pullman. Taking a look at local and regional news, crews from Wasson Carey Construction are stabilizing damaged walls of a building on Washington Street in Moscow that was severely damaged when a truck crashed into the building June 20th. The crash took out the major parts of the east and north walls of the one-story building, mainly damaging the part of the building that housed the offices of Hodge & Associates. The south part of the building, housing Alternatives to Violence of the Palouse, was largely undamaged. Hodge & Associates principal engineer Scott Becker told the Daily News Wasson Carey crews will begin reconstruction after the damaged wall is stabilized. Becker said Hodge staff has been able to work in the building after the crash after temporary support rafters were built.
Changes to SNAP benefits have Montana food banks working hard to help families this Thanksgiving. North Valley Food Bank in Whitefish has been preparing for this for months. Executive Director Sophie Albert says they're expecting record-breaking food distribution this year.
Originally, we planned for anywhere between like 550 to 600 families, which is already a significant increase from the past couple of years, but now we have ramped it up to 800.
Albert says the increase is due to the lapse in SNAP benefits during the government shutdown and new SNAP work requirements taking effect in December. To qualify, non-disabled adults aged 18 to 64 without dependents will now have to work or be in a training program at least 20 hours a week. Albert says the new rules could cause 12,000 Montanans to lose their benefits. She adds families were already struggling with higher housing costs and more expensive groceries over the past few years. Over the last few weeks, she says North Valley Food Bank has seen at least 50 new households coming in each week and more people coming in more often.
Maybe some families in the past just needed to come to us the last week of the month because their benefits had run out or their budget had run out for the month, and now they need to come more frequently.
Albert emphasizes the community response is still going strong, with more than 20 community-led food drives in the Whitefish area in the past few weeks. That's helped them collect enough food to give all the families they serve a turkey or ham and all the Thanksgiving staples. She describes meeting the need as a marathon and not a sprint, and says the food insecurity crisis is far from over.
We're ready for the moment, and we're hoping that everybody who needs food will come to us, and we'll also hope that we see this community support continue through the next couple of months.
I'm Laura Hatch, Big Sky Connection.
The Idaho Fish and Game Department is requiring out-of-state hunters to put up cash in order to receive a chance at hunting tags. The department is changing how non-resident hunters obtain out-of-state hunting licenses and tags by making a switch to a lottery system. In the past, all non-resident hunters had to do was go to a store which sells hunting licenses and purchase over-the-counter tags for deer or elk. In recent years, Fish and Game sold out the limited number of available out-of-state licenses in one day. Under the new system, the intent is to level the playing field for hunters seeking the tags by making them apply for tags online, individually, or in groups. During the application process, hunters list their top five choices for deer and elk. According to the Daily News, Fish and Game License Program Manager Tara Reichert calls the lottery system, quote, skin in the game. Prior to purchasing a game tag, non-resident hunters must now purchase a non-refundable $195 hunting license, which has no guarantees the person would be successful in the drawings for the tags. The old system favored people with time and money to travel or hunters able to spend significant amounts of time in front of a computer screen or on the phone. Reichert said the folks that could actually take the time to be off work to come to Idaho maybe felt like they had a better chance, a better bite at the apple than the rest of the non-residents. So that feeling of inequity definitely was there. People are kind of panic buying and hoping they're buying the right tag. Fish and Game Department Customer and Vendor Relations Manager Alex Erickson said, close your eyes and imagine a Black Friday kind of scenario where you got a whole bunch of people standing there waiting. The new system is modeled after the state's controlled tag drawings and is set up to alleviate the congestion caused by the demand. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, there is a 100% chance of rain tonight, possibly mixed with snow. Snow level 2,900 feet, rising to 3,900 feet after midnight. Low 32, little or no snow accumulation expected. 60% chance of rain tomorrow, mainly before noon. Snow level 5,100 feet, rising to 6,000 feet in the afternoon. Cloudy, high 41. Wednesday night, 60% chance of rain, mainly after 10 p.m. Cloudy, steady temperature 39. And on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, 70% chance of rain, cloudy, high 44. Thursday night, 90% chance of rain, snow level 5,600 feet, lowering to 5,000 feet after midnight, low 35. Between a quarter and a half inch of rain possible Thursday night. And on Friday, 70% chance of rain, mainly before 10 a.m., snow level 3,800 feet, mostly cloudy, high 40. Currently 36 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse and 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Flashpoints is up next at 7:30. Rude Awakening live in the studios. And Brent Bentz in to play music for you 9:30 to midnight tonight. And we'll have Sons of Patriarchy on the air at 11 p.m. So stay tuned. Information, entertainment, and music throughout your evening. KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Friends of the Clearwater, a 501c3 environmental nonprofit dedicated to protecting your public lands. FOC is defending the wildlands, wildlife, and waterways of north central Idaho for future generations. Friendsoftheclearwater.org.
KRFP, Moscow is the best in the USA.
Yeah.